This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 93. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show where we focus on everything to do with fantasy books. Whether we're talking about epic fantasy, urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, lit RPG fantasy, whatever it is, you can expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. Kicking off things this week, I'll start with my own author update. I'm still hard at work on book 4 of the Huntress Clan Saga series. I plan to wrap up the first draft next week sometime. I can't wait to share this one with the readers. It's a lot of fun to write it, and I think you're going to enjoy it too. If you haven't checked out the first 3 books in the Huntress Clan Saga, I urge you to check it out. You can find the entire series over on Amazon or links to it over on my website at jamiedavisbooks.com. You can always find more information about everything I'm up to, including sneak peeks of things like upcoming covers, special giveaways I'm running, a lot more, by visiting my reader group over on Facebook. That's Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. And just request to join the group. We'd love to have you in there. We talk about not just my books, but all kinds of fantasy books and topics over there. Also, over on my website and blog, you can find at jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you. There's a contact form over there, or leave a comment on the Facebook group. Whatever the case may be, I love hearing back from folks, and I do return your messages. On today's show, I interview Susan Fall. Susan is the winner of the Dante Rossetti Grand Prize for Best Young Adult Fiction of 2016 for her Seer of Souls. And she also has received multiple other awards. Susan loves to bring new worlds and fantasy adventures to young adults and inspire them to join her on her make-believe journeys. Always the dreamer, her earliest childhood memories are of a make-believe game she played with her sister, imagining epic adventures inspired by a picture chosen at random from a National Geographic magazine. Susan is actively crafting stories that sing in your memory, and you can find out more about what she's up to at www.susanfall.com, on Twitter at Susan D. Fall, and on Facebook, www.facebook.com/SusanFall. Check out my interview with Susan. It's coming up right now. Susan, welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's really great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So why don't you kind of introduce yourself to our reader fans here in the audience and let us know a little bit about how you got started writing, because everybody's journey to get there seems to be a little bit different.
Well, I'm a Canadian author. I live north of Lake Superior in the lovely artistic district of the Group of Seven. If you've ever known anything about any of the Canadian painters and stuff in the world. But that's not how I got started writing, of course. Basically, my journey began with the love of Harry Potter. Back when Harry Potter was first being written, I had children of that age group, and we used to do a lot of reading and followed the fandoms and go to all the events where we could find events happening. We camped out at a lot of bookstores when they were having new releases and things along that line. And from that, and the love of reading those stories to my kids, I started writing. I thought it would be a fun venture for me to tackle. And as we do, we write and we write and we write and think we're never going to ever actually publish something. But what actually spurred me to step into the world of self-publishing was the fact that I lost my job. And I think a lot of people end up going through this. You have a crisis moment where you look at your life and go, well, you know, the old career is ending and, you know, maybe it's the time to actually try and see if we can actually make this work. So that was kind of the shove off the cliff and, you know, finding the feathers to fly. And as they say, from there, everything's history after that. You either keep flying or you're done. So, yes, that's how I started writing.
Awesome. No, it's great. And it sounds like we have kids of a similar age, because I definitely remember our oldest getting the first Harry Potter book at around 6 years old, and we were reading it to him. And, you know, it was the book that got him to learn to read, because we got tired of reading it to him. You know, it was like, okay, we're not going to read that one again. And so he started reading it to himself. And it's fascinating how a book can make that kind of a connection with, you know, a person, a child, adult, anybody, that spurs them into wanting to delve into the book again and again and again.
A series like that, too, when you have children, is really important. And with Harry Potter, of course, it pretty much grew up right alongside the kids. So as each book was coming out, you know, the kids were, you know, that much older and you know, pretty much could step and pace along with the story. So it was a really interesting experience. I don't know that a lot of families, you know, prior to Harry Potter would have had that opportunity to raise children alongside of a book series that inspired, you know, a generation of readers, really.
It's amazing. So, I mean, it's the genius of J.K. Rowling to have, I don't know if she planned it that way exactly, but I mean, just to have your books grow up with your readers. So they mm-hmm. started dealing with dating issues and, you know, liking boys, liking girls, and, you know, that whole growth into puberty from, you know, late childhood. The genius of it is pretty amazing. And then dealing with adult issues and coming of age, and yeah, just fascinating.
Yes, yes. So that was my motivation to give myself the opportunity, to give myself permission to actually try writing and see how it would go. But I've always had the ability. I think when I finally issued or got around to publishing that first book, and I told, you know, I wrote very, very quietly for the longest time. And then eventually it's like, oh, guess what, Dad? I've decided to write a book, you know, and you wait for the cat calls to start, right? They, oh, well, you know, you really shouldn't be trying that. You shouldn't really go back to school, or you should go do something else, or, you know, find another job. You know, everything that your parents always say when you're growing up. But the reaction I got, and maybe because I'm already an adult at this point, probably made a difference, but my mom actually looked over at me and said, well, it's about time. So
that's great.
Anyway, I had it in me too. And I, you know, we just never ever talked about it. It was never anything to talk about, but they were not surprised in the least when I decided to finally tell them what I was doing. Now my dad still, you know, doesn't read what I read. But he tried. He actually picked it up. He started reading it, and he said, you know, this isn't for me, but good luck.
My mother forces herself to read all my books. And because of that, I write pretty clean. I'm not a person who writes a lot of, like, who speaks with a lot of language, but, you know, but every now and then it'll slip out if I bang my toe or something. But, you know, I don't write that way either. And part of it is because my mother reads literally everything I write. And she'll say, this isn't my cup of tea, but I'm going to read it because you wrote it.
Exactly. A parent's love, right?
Yes, right? It's awesome to look at all the books you have. You know, you've been writing since, looks like around, what, 2016-ish, somewhere around in there?
Yes. Yeah. About 3 years, 4 years now.
Yeah. It's awesome. The Spirit Shield saga. And then you moved up into the Heart of the Citadel stories, which the most recent book is the book 4 in that series, right?
Right. Yes. That came out in February of last year.
Excellent.
I believe that's when you published it. Yes.
I just started Heart of Destiny. And I'm really intrigued. I mean, it caught me pretty much right away. I mean, the opening's good and it draws me in, and the idea of, you know, the outlawed magic, but yet of course, you know, that you can't stop it from manifesting in another generation. And so, you know, that concept of, you know, who's going to carry on the torch and bring it back to life. And it's pretty amazing.
Thank you. I'm enjoying that series because I've always wanted to mix genies and dragons into a series. I just thought those two particular people or two particular races would have interesting interactions. So, it's a fun series to write. It's basically, I'm Canadian. There's a bit of a nod to Canadiana in there, and that the world is built around 10 provinces, which the world is circular in nature with a central citadel. And the central citadel is where the emperor, of course, is. And from that point of reference, he controls the world by creating magical barriers that prevent the provinces from interacting with each other, except directly through the citadel. So it's an interesting microcosm of what we see in the world. And many of the provinces in this world are actual reflections of real countries and sections of our real world. So it makes it interesting. Each book is really a completely different story, with similar roots, but each book is about that particular heart bearer's journey back to free her province.
And so, I was looking at the map, and is there 10 provinces?
There's 10 provinces.
So are you planning 10 books in the series?
There's going to be 10 books, primary books, yes.
Awesome.
Plus one at the beginning, plus one or two at the end, depending how many much I need to wrap everything up.
No, that's exciting. It's impressive. I like to see authors that write, and plan these epic journeys, these sweeping, broad worlds that have so many areas to explore. I tend to, I write a lot of urban fantasy, so it's usually centered around a city or an area and a single area, and there's not a lot of travel involved. And I tend to write in trilogies. So even though I have some longer series, but there are definite 3-book arcs inside those series that go on. I applaud you because it's a lot to plan out and kind of keep in touch in front of you to have that vision for where you're going to go.
It is. And how I'm tying it together, each book really is happening simultaneously with the ones with all the other daughters, because they're all sent back at the same time with their dragon and their genie. So the way that I'm bridging between them all is, a few central characters that go between all these worlds. So the emperor being one, of course, right? he's going to have to go after each and every hero that comes back, right, and have that conflict. And then a couple of other seed characters that have historical roots and missions that they have to perform. But it's a big world, and that tends to be the way my mind works. I never do anything halfway.
No, that's great.
But I love it.
It's exciting, to see that. It's funny. I've got this idea that's been tickling my brain for a long time for an epic fantasy, broad world, massive story, and with many, many characters and storylines. And it scares me a little bit to even think about writing it finding the time to write it, because right now I put out books that are probably around between 60,000 and 80,000 words, and I can write those reasonably quickly. I can't imagine what it would do to me to write like 120,000-150,000 word single book in a trilogy or quintology or something,
Mine tend to be 90. That's my YA route. So I tend to write 90 to 95. I think Full Sacrifice, 97,000-98,000. So I do push towards that 100,000 mark. I like this solid book in my hand.
No, it's great. I like the idea of, and I've enjoyed reading books like that in sweeping series and broad worlds with plenty to explore. So, I can only imagine what it'll be like to see as you continue on this series to keep going. Tell us a little bit about the first series you wrote, which is the Seer. Is it the Seer of Souls or? Is that the first book?
Yeah, it's the Spirit Shield Saga.
The Spirit Shield Saga.
Your Souls is the first book of the series. I like to pitch that when I'm at live events as Percy Jackson meets Lord of the Rings. So it's a epic fantasy with a very heavy mythology base.
Awesome.
So it's about four sibling demigods who are battling for control of the souls of the dead.
Yeah, no, that's great. That sounds very interesting. And, you know, it's funny, you know, when you do talk to people face to face, you really do need that, you know, single sentence description of what your book or series is about so that they can kind of make a frame of reference. And it's so important, especially for an indie author, to be able to do that because, you know, we're not just the author, we're the marketing department too.
That's right. And when you're at a live event and there's a lot of different distractions, you know, around, you have a split second to engage that person. And usually the reason they've, you know, slowed at your table is because, you know, a cover caught their eye. So, you know, when they lean over and they start looking at the photos, you know, the cover art, that's your chance to talk to them.
Yeah, I've done a few. Do you prefer live events to other interactions?
I enjoy live events. I really do. I like to talk to somebody face to face, being across the table from them. It gives you a chance to gauge the reaction. And, you know, sometimes they listen to your whole pitch and they go, oh, it sounds very interesting, but I don't read that. But then you get others and they go like, oh, that sounds great. You know, and it's especially fun when it's the right demographic, right? You get that teen at a, you know, at a Comic Con or whatever that's standing across from you and in their cosplay and they're going, that sounds great. Now, it brings its own reward. You know, Amazon reviews are nice, but it's nice to get that feedback in person too.
It is. And I know the first time I went back to an event that I went to live a year before, I had a person actually bring books. Like they bought the first book in the series from me the year before, and they brought the rest of the books in the series back to the table so I would sign them.
Nice.
Which was like such an honor for me to see that. And, you know, that they went to the trouble of hauling these books, you know, it was like five books back in so that I could sign them too. And that was so cool.
Yeah. Or when somebody walks up to your table and they had seen, you know, in advertising that you were going to be at the event, and they went and bought all the books ahead of time and are bringing them in for you to sign simply because they knew you'd be there. Like you, most indies are going, really? You know who I am? Right?
It's so pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It's actually shocking. You think, wow, some of that marketing we've been doing actually worked somewhere along the line because they've got books in hand. So, yeah, it's interesting. I went to the locally here. Small town that I live in, and I went to the hardware store to pick up some supplies or something that I was grabbing, and this lady stops me and she goes, Susan? I said, yeah. She says, I just want to let you know I got all your books out of the library. She says, they're wonderful. She says, but I don't understand why they're in the teen section. Well, it was nice. It's like, well, someone actually stops you. I had seen this lady around town, but I didn't really know who she was. So, yeah, you never know what conversations are going on, right, in the background.
You're absolutely right. And I just, you know, I love running into people or when people reach out to me by email. I always ask the authors on this show, what's your preferred method of, you know, contacting the readers? But honestly, for me, it's however they want to reach out to me. If I get the message, I will respond.
Yes. Yes, and always make sure you do respond, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny when I get the shocked like follow-up email, like, oh, thank you so much for responding. Well, you took the trouble to find my website, fill out the contact form, and hit send. Of course I'm going to respond back to you. You know, it's common courtesy. I you visited my site. I should thank you for that. Read my books and thank you. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you have on the table for the next projects, are you still digging into, are you kind of switching up? Do you write something in other series at the same time you're writing in the Heart of the Citadel series?
I tend to write in multiple series at the same time, and they're all in different stages. I'm working on the next book of the Heart of the Citadel. Obviously, that one is entitled Heart of Fjord. We're going to Fjord next. And then another series that I'm working on is a Gaslight fantasy. I decided I wanted to do some Gaslight. So the Guardians of Le Jardin are a family of art historian, art restoration experts who have magic. And their family history is that they are the guardians of magic and of controlling the evil of the magical kingdom or magical world. And how they do this is when a ruler or a, someone of power is going off the rails with their magic and moving into evil, is they will paint their souls into their portraits. And their family's calling is to maintain these paintings. And this is how all the, portraits and paintings come to be in the museums around the world. They're actually, the prisons.
Oh, that's fascinating.
They're imprisoned in the paintings that are on the walls that are now behind glass and now behind more security. And their calling is to be, maintaining these pictures to make sure that the magical barriers don't degrade. So, of course, that being the first book that I'm writing on, which is called Framed, is about our young hero who is 21. He comes home from work and finds that the smoke alarms are going off in the house. His mom's burnt, the muffins that were in the oven. And he goes looking for her and heads out to the art studio and goes into there and finds her dead on the floor. And she's been murdered. And so he goes searching all over the premises, trying to, figure out what's happened. Everything's locked up tight. There hasn't been any sign of a forced entry. It goes through all of these things. And as he comes back around to the portrait that she was working on at the time of her death, suddenly a scalpel goes whizzing by his ear. And he turns around and he realizes suddenly it's the painting that has murdered his mother. So... And then from there on, we have to have the grand chase because now his fingerprints are all over the murder scene, right? With no other person to identify.
Oh, wow.
So this is where this story is going to go. And so we're going to have a magical Gaslight series where we are walking back in time historically in each book because we have to go back and chase down our murderer in their time. That's when the mistake was at the time the portrait wouldn't have been painted originally.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So my first villain in the first book is Napoleon.
See, this is just this amazing. So that's just sounds fascinating to me. And I'm never going to look at an old painting again the same way. Thank you for that.
I could write in this series forever.
Oh yeah, you can. pick an emperor, pick a king, right? I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
I can do Genghis Khan one day and I can do...
You can do a pope the next day. You can do a Roman emperor. You can do anything.
I can do anybody.
That's fantastic.
So, and it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Explore history and, figure out how this would all go together. And yeah. So I guess we're going to end up in the Battle of Waterloo at some point in that book, so...
Oh, well, fascinating. I'm a big military history buff, so that would be so cool for me. I would just love that to death.
We'll skirt around some of that, right? We don't want to offend the true history buffs, but...
No. I skirt with that stuff too. And my feeling is I'll get around the edges. I'll get close. I can do some research, but not get so heavily into it that we need to know which blade of grass they were standing next to.
Right.
We can just say they were adjacent to the Battle of Waterloo. Like I can hear the guns, right?
Yes. Yes. We can get close or we can make sure that, he's captured again magically before we get to that battle. Because the whole purpose of escaping, of course, is to change its history, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. Well, that sounds fascinating. Well, we'll have to keep an eye out. What are you thinking about for a release for that?
Probably next spring.
Okay.
I plan to, I'm hoping to write all three and do a rapid release with that series. So I have the first two covers. The first cover for this one, Framed, is up on my website. You go look at it.
Oh,
there.
Wow. Now I'm going to have to go look. See, I've got it up here. All right.
Yeah,
so
let's see. I haven't put the second one up yet. That one
I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
I'll find it later.
There's nothing there. Just the picture. Just the covers there. I haven't.
Oh, there it is. Guardians of Ledger Domain. Oh, that's so cool. I love the cover. And it's got definitely a Gaslight feel to it. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, listen, Susan, we could, I feel like you and I could talk a lot, and maybe we'll just have to plan to have you back in early 2021 to talk about this series and the release of Framed when it comes out. So, you know, definitely reach out to me a few weeks before you're ready to release and we'll get you on the schedule.
Okay. That sounds great.
Awesome. Where can folks find you? Where's the best place to reach you online that, people can catch up with you?
I have my Facebook page, obviously. I'm on Twitter. I don't do a lot of Twitter, so you probably wouldn't reach me there. Probably Facebook would be the easiest. And then also you can always email me at susan@susanfaw.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And like I said, we'd love to have you back. But it's been great chatting with you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Jamie.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy-focused community, both on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also, while you're over there, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show right there below the audio player at the top of the page. Even by email, there are ways to subscribe. So iOS, Android, and of course your email address or whatever you'd like to, we can send you updates so you know when the next episodes come out. And you won't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes because we've got some great authors coming for you, including the next episode with Patty Loofborough. I had a great time chatting with Patty. I know you'll love it too. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books, on my website at jamiedavisbooks.com, and of course, you can also check out what I'm up to in my reader group, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. Just come over, find it, join the group. We talk about not just my books, but other people's books, fantasy movies, fantasy stories of all kinds. So come on and join the fun. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast. In the meantime, I'll remind you to keep your eyes open, folks, because whether you know it or not, there's magic all around you.